Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you love a sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy. Without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and good evening. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back tonight. It's Thursday, June the 30th, 2016. We pray all is well with you and your home and your family. Tonight, we're going to talk. We have a special guest coming on tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about a musician, a composer, a writer, arranger, a gospel artist, jazz artist, Brother John Henry. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in his life, his projects, and some of his music. And we're going to share about talk to him a little bit and share about what's going on in his world and in his career and his music ministry and all those good things. Amen. So tonight we're going to open up with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. And we have a lot of announcements. We have a lot of upcoming men's events we want to share tonight. And we encourage you to stay and hang in there with us and enjoy the show. Amen. Let me go straight to scripture here real quick. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter number 4, and we're going to start at verse number... I got an old paper Bible, so I got to hold on here. I don't have a nice iPad. I use old Bible paper. I got to flip your pages sometimes. You know, they're wrinkled up. You got to get the wrinkles and the creases out. Amen? Amen. So we're going to read from 1 Peter, chapter number 4, starting at verse number 1. And the Word of God says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in a Leviticus, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abomination of idolatry, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God. And but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." Father, we say thank you today, Lord God. We thank you, O God, for the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, O God, that renews and strengthens us, O God. We thank you for that spirit that keeps us, O God, alive, O God, keeps us, O God, abiding in you, keeps us sufficient, O God, in your will, O God. Father, we pray that you would continue to watch over us and bless us. Touch our homes, our families, O God. Touch every man on the line that's listening tonight, O God. No matter what's going on in his life, no matter what he's struggling with, no matter what things, O God, come to attack his spirit, his flesh, and his character, O God. We ask that you, O God, set a hedge of protection around him and keep him. This is our prayer tonight, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we'd like to thank you again for joining us tonight. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you're listening online, you can call in to 646-668-2636 and press 1 on your keypad. You can come in and share and ask some questions of our guests. And we just encourage you to join us. Also, you can go to Facebook on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can always get a link there for upcoming events and men's events and things that that's going on in the local Baltimore, D.C. area here that we like to share and fellowship in times of fellowship. Amen. Well, let's get to our announcements before we get to our guests. Let's see. This Saturday, July the 2nd at 9 a.m., the Dasco Ministries is having their men's breakfast. This is their monthly first Saturday men's breakfast every month on the first Saturday. It's free, and it's going to be faith, food, and fellowship, and it's going to be located at 9833 Liberty Road in Randerstown, Maryland, 21133. And that's the Dasco's Ministry Men's Breakfast this Saturday. Also, you can also, like I say, you can go to Facebook, and there's the links there, the address and everything is there. Also, next an upcoming event is going to be what We Still Do, Inc. They present Marriage Live and Uncensored, and that's going to be on Saturday, July the 9th, 2016, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's going to be held at Compton State University at the Talent Center at 2500 North Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. You can call 443-38876 for more information, or you can register. It's going to be there's a fee of $30 for a couple. You can go to www.marriedwomenreachingout.com, and you can register online, or if you have any other questions or what was going on, you can call, again, you can call 443-386-8876, and I highly recommend that. I'll be there. My wife will be there, and I know a couple of the presenters and some of the teachers are going to be there, and our MCs are going to be Mr. and Mrs. Simmons, Mr. and Mrs. Whitehead, Mr. and Mrs. Fletcher, and Mr. and Mrs. Barnes. And then we have the founders and CEO, Derek and Maria Purcell. So we encourage you to come out for a time of fellowship, with the kind of teaching, and a time of being around couples who enjoy being married. They love being married, and they love their spouse. And we come together and encourage one another. Because we know that, a lot of people, married couples go through a lot now, and especially now in this culture. The culture wants to redefine marriage, and unfortunately, some of us in some ministries, some churches have succumbed unto the way of the culture and how we want to define marriage. But God has defined marriage only in one way, between a man and a woman, and for life. So we encourage you to come out and fellowship with folks who believe the biblical definition of marriage. Amen. Also, we have a men's fish fry with Jesus Lives Church and Fellowship. They're located at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. That's on July the 16th. That's Saturday, July the 16th, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. That's in support of Men's Fellowship. There's also a men's fish fry. We're charging $10 per. And we're asking that you RSVP and reserve your plate in advance. That way we know how much fish we need, and our sides and everything will be there and be prepared. It's going to be freshly cooked hot fish fry. Again, that's going to be on July the 16th, 2016, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. You can call the church to RSVP by calling 410-859-8002. And also you can look for that on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And get that information and reach out to us there. Amen. We have one more event. We want to also talk about Jesus Lives. We're having a men's retreat. They're hosting a men's retreat on September 16th through the 18th of 2006. We're going up to Black Rock Retreat Center, located in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. The cost is going to be $250 per man. That's double occupancy, so you bring your son, bring your brother, you and him share a room. There's going to be two beds in the room for you brothers who are concerned. But we want you to come out and fellowship. We're going to get away. We're going to go out there and lodging. All the meals, transportation is all included. Jesus Lives has a couple of vans. We're going to go up. We're going to ride. Brothers, we're going to get in the van. We're going to ride. We're going to spend the weekend together in fellowship and teaching. And also we're going to have some recreation activities. We're talking about a three-on-three tournament or something and some other events up there. Yeah, we plan on, engaging each other a little bit. Amen. But again, all this information can be seen on our Facebook page, Issue Christian Men's Talk. So you can also, if you didn't have a pen and pencil with you, you can always go to our website and listen to the rebroadcast and that information. by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to the rebroadcast and all of our other shows, past shows archived there. Amen? Amen. Well, this evening, our guest is Brother John Henry. Praise the Lord, Brother John Henry. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Excellent, excellent, brother. And thank you for joining, taking time out of your schedule and joining us tonight and talk a little bit about your, well, talk a little bit about your ministry and your music and share some of your insights. And if some folk have some questions for you, we're going to bring them on and let them talk to you about it. But first of all, brother, let me... Amen. Well, first of all, brother, share with the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, wow, there's so much to say. I guess, well, originally I'm originally from Mississippi, Canton, Mississippi. Was born and raised in the Baptist church, and attended church so much as a kid. I went to school at Alcorn State University, where I played football. Met good friends, good musicians friends there as well, and I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science in Robotics Engineering. Later, came to Maryland around end of 2006, 2007 time frame, and started working for the government here, for the Army directly. And while I was doing that, I stayed within the musical career. I mean, stayed within the musical realm and started joining bands and started playing at different churches and just kind of just really opening myself up to different opportunities. So I have a very, very vast background. So I'm just a small time. So, in short, I'm just a small time country boy from Mississippi who's living in a big city here in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, and really enjoying life musically as well as a professional career.
Amen, sir. You said Canton, Mississippi. Is that where the Canton, what's that group? Is the group, gospel group named Canton Spirituals? Same place?
They would be the Canton Spirituals. Yes, sir. Those are my relatives.
Really? All right, man.
Yes,
you mean relatives, relatives, or relatives because all black people in Mississippi are related? Which one is it?
It's more so my dad, on my dad's side, second cousin, and down the line, third cousins with me. So there are two major groups in Canton, and one would be the Grammy Award-winning Canton Spirituals, and that second group would be my dad's quartet group, which are the Canton Spirituals. I grew up playing drums for them and later moved on to playing keyboard and later organ before I moved to Maryland with them. So they recorded a couple of projects as well, and my dad is the lead singer there. His name is Mr. Dewey Henry. But, yeah, there are two groups in Canton, and if you talk about anybody in Canton, those would be the two groups that will come up.
Amen, amen, amen. So, you see, I didn't know that, bro, until you mentioned it, but amen, amen.
Well, let's
start there. You know, let's talk about when you begin your musical journey. When did you first, when did you first get into music and have interest with it?
Well, if you go back, my mom would say around when I was 4 years old, I used to grab some of her wooden spoons and pots and pans, and I would take them out of the out of the cupboard, and put them on the floor and begin to play drums on the floor in the kitchen, and I would make everybody mad. But eventually, you know, they saw something in me, so I started playing again. You know, at a young age, started playing the drums in my dad's group when I was probably around the age of 9. But during that transition of playing the drums in the group, there was this preacher by the name of Reverend Rivers who used to teach my moms how to play the piano. And while he was teaching my moms how to play the piano, I would sit down and, you know, watch cartoons and things like that, do the typical things that a kid would do. And little did I know that my ear was growing in music. So as he was teaching my moms how to play music, I would capture that and later replicate what she was playing by ear. He was teaching her by theoretically, and I was basically picking it up by ear. So later on, they saw that I was getting pretty good at it, and they began to send me to a musical teacher by the name of, who's now a reverend. He used to be Mr. Jackson, used to be a school teacher at Canton High School, my high school, and they later began to send me to him. And he used to have these recitals where for other students, but during the recitals, he would begin to call me up and have me play during the intermissions of the recital. And eventually, he began to tell my parents that, you know, there wasn't too much that he could teach me on the level that, you know, the other kids would be learning. because I was far more advanced than what he would be teaching the kids. So he recommended that I go to another teacher. So later on, fast forward, high school, I began to play for several different churches around a local area in Canton and graduated and began to go to college. And while I was in college, I began to play a little bit with a few groups around the area. If you're familiar with a few groups by the name of the Jackson Southern Airs or the Williams Brothers or the Highway QCs, again, I played with those guys a little bit. And, you know, just to make a little extra money around the local Jackson area, Mobile or Arkansas, wherever we would travel. And later go and take that money back to school because, you know, even though I was on a football scholarship, I didn't have any money. So I was on football scholarship with no money in my pocket, and I was broke. So I would use that a little bit, you know, to kind of give me a little bit of, you know, cash, but at the same time make a name for myself. And I began to meet a lot of musicians around the Houston, Texas area, Chicago area, Arkansas, and I began to learn different styles. So as I began to learn different styles, I began to try to produce them at the same time what I was listening. However, I didn't know what I was listening to theoretically on a higher scale level. So I began to meet with this teacher by the name of Tony Gordon. He was an instructor in the Fine Arts Building at Alcorn State University, and he began to sit me down and teach me the chords that I was playing and began to teach me small things like minor scales and major scales and pentatonic scales and arpeggios and a lot of different things that I could use that I use today in a lot of my music. And I'm really grateful because of him opening my eyes up to a totally different style of reading and understanding music on a higher scale. So by the time I got ready to graduate, let's say I have the drums down pack, I'm playing the organ, I'm playing the keyboard for the Alcorn State Gospel and the Alcorn State Interfaith Choir, and I'm traveling a little bit playing, you know, with people like Kim Burrell with the choir, just meeting them at local events and playing behind me. You know, nothing really special. Who else? Oh, Paul Morton. And this was in the local Louisiana area. Later, moving forward, by the time my junior year came, I picked up the bass guitar. I liked it. I enjoyed it so much because we'd run across a few bass players in my choir, and I began to just enjoy their style a lot. They brought different genres and different flavors of the bass guitar, and they would begin to teach me a little bit on the road and at different concerts what they were doing, and we would be able to go back and forth from there. during that time, I just decided that, hey, I wanted to pick up a bass of my own. So my first cousin, John Allen, he bought a bass guitar, but he never really enjoyed using it. It was more so, if you're in the family of Henrys, you're going to be a musician whether you like it or not. So he was one of those people who didn't like it. So he had a bass guitar that he really didn't use. So I bought his four-string Fender from him. It was a cheap, you know, beginner's bass. And I began to take it to school with me. And I took a class that was outside of my core curriculum and took a bass and learned bass theory at the Alcorn State University. And I began to apply that knowledge to the style of bass that I wanted to play. So I began to pick, I began to play my arpeggios, I began to play my chords and my harmonics and play everything that I wanted to hear myself play and learn my scales and basically just took that on to creating the music that you hear today in my jazz CD like Hello Angela or my gospel music like Don't Take Your Spirit or Victory, things like that. So basically the main four instruments that I play on a daily basis are the drums, the organ, keyboard, and the bass guitar. But I'm familiar with playing the cello, familiar with playing the flute, and my best friend taught me how to play saxophone as well. But I'm the type of guy that if I'm creating music, I I always delegate to the people whose roles that is, basically. So if my best friend is a saxophone player, I'm not going to play the saxophone because I know how to play saxophone. I'm going to give him the saxophone because that's his job. And that's what he does. So if I'm creating music, that I always delegate whether I know how to do it or not. I know what I want to hear, but that's not my lane. So I basically just give it to the guys who are professional at what they do and subject matter experts at what they do.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. You know, it seems like you you put your life into this thing here, and you have a lot of foundational thing. And that's what I like to hear. You know, as you were speaking, especially for my young musicians out there, you know, it seemed like you spent some time and built the foundation, and you were able to, you know, take the opportunity to actually learn how to play instruments and understand the music. And that's one thing I wanted to also talk about, because I believe you're an arranger, you're a writer, you also compose your own original music. I wanted to ask you about the Hello Angela. I've seen that. It was on Amazon. And I just wanted you to share a little bit about that song and how that come about.
Yeah, well, no problem. Hello Angela stemmed from, I guess, a very trying time in my career. I was a freshman in college playing football, and I guess my freshman year was probably the hardest year. And this is going to be a very, very tough story for me, a very tough story for me to kind of tell again, because I get very emotional telling this. But during the time my freshman year, transitioning from high school, going to speed camp and football camp and tour days in college, I learned a lot of things, and a lot of things were coming my way emotionally that I wasn't prepared to, that any 17 or 18 year old just was not prepared to handle. So during that time, my great uncle, who taught me how to play baseball, he passed away during the summer. But I understood that, you know, when people get older, they have to transition on. So I understood that at a young age. But shortly after, my grandmother passed, and she helped raise me, basically. So I really miss and love that. But it was a very tough time during the summer, transitioning and having those things happen while going over to college. So during college, the football season was going on, and, you know, I'm trying to just be as good of a freshman football player as I can be, and trying to make a name for myself. And something very, very bad happened. During the week of one of the biggest games of my career, we were playing at the Capital City Classic, playing versus Jackson State. That Tuesday, my sister passed. No, she didn't pass. I'm sorry. She got burned in the fireplace, and she was standing too close to it. And it caught a hold to her nightgown. And the nightgown is very, very thin, and it's flannel. So it just really caught a hold to it, and it really set her on fire. So about 45% of her body was burned, second-degree burns. So they didn't tell me about this. My cousin, who was a fullback, Albert Jones, who was a fullback at Alcorn, he didn't tell me about it. My cousin had another cousin who was on Gilda Cole. She was in the band. She didn't tell me about it because they knew how overprotective I was of my sister. And here's the thing about it. Even though I was overprotective and I had a very, very, very high temperature, about my sister, I would be very protective of her, but she didn't need it. No one would ever physically touch her or try her. They would just make fun of her. And on the outside looking in, I took that personally all my life. So I was very protective of her, even though she didn't need it. So during that time, they knew how I was going to act, and they knew how it was going to affect the game of me playing. And they didn't tell me until later on that week. And she passed, and it was one of the toughest things ever for me. And we drove to the burn center, and I saw her, and I began to talk to my mom. And immediately upon seeing my parents, I just broke down right there because I just couldn't fathom, you know, what was happening. So during that time right there, I began to lose my faith a little bit in God. I began to question God. I even got mad. I got very angry with God because I was questioning him and asking him the entire time, how could you allow somebody so precious? My sister, she was handicapped, and she never bothered anybody. She was in her own world, and everybody loved her. So I would always question God, how could you let somebody so precious die so horribly, you know? And for the longest, you know, I couldn't take it. And many people don't notice, you know, except my wife and a lot of other people, but I was driving home in my best friend's car one day, and the Lord just kept his hands up on me. And to this day, he has his hands up on me. So I'm on 20 heading east, coming back home, and I couldn't take it. You know, I got out the car, and we're on a four-lane highway, and I just stopped the car in the middle of the highway and just got out and started walking. I was in so much pain, I couldn't take it anymore. I wanted somebody to hit me and kill me. I honestly tried to kill myself during that time. 18-year-old college freshman, you know, running back at Alcorn State University, has a pretty promising career for himself. So I couldn't take that pain no more. So I wanted somebody to hit me. And for some odd reason, God just found a way to just shift every car around me and make them swerve around me, and nobody touched my best friend's car. Nothing ever happened. So he wouldn't let me die. I just got back in the car and just went back home and fucked it up. So even until this day, I talking about my sister, I always seem to tear up a little bit and lose my appetite a little bit, you know, just thinking about it. So this album is a way of me to show my gratitude and appreciation for her, because I really still miss her. I still miss her a lot. And I find myself sometimes, you know, after praying at night and talking to my wife, and my wife looks at me, you know, she says, why can't you go to sleep? Or why are you moving? Why are you getting up? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I just get up and go to the bathroom. I just get up or sit in the hallway or something in my house and just look up to the heavens and just talk to my sister. So this album, which says Hello Angela, is me expressing myself at night, basically at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, or if I'm stuck on the highway and I'm thinking to my sister, I just look up to the heavens and say, hey, how you doing, big sister? How's everything going? How does Jesus look, you know? Is he a really good person, you know? Or how everything going up there? Do you see any of our family members? Basically, my conversations with her overall. And I dedicate this album to her. So you'll hear songs in there like Hello Angela, or Early Morning Conversations with a subtle twist to it. Basically, the word mourning really means mourning the death or the loss of a family member. But if you're not paying attention to the word, you just want to say early morning conversations, which you'll think that you would be having with your spouse or something. But it's basically all of our my family members, my brothers and sisters, are basically giving our reflections on her. So this album right here is dedicated to her, in memory of her, my grandmother, and my great uncle. But mostly to her, because it kind of gives me a refreshing undertone of what to give to her. So all of my life I've loved music like big band, neo soul, or swing jazz, smooth jazz, and this album here of Hello Angela, you will hear all of that. This album here isn't directly pointed at one genre. It's gonna open up to a little bit of big band, a little bit of swing jazz, some neo soul, and some smooth jazz as well, and some fusion jazz, because you hear me playing a little bit of fusion bass in there. So things like that will happen in this album right here. So I hope that everyone is able to enjoy listening my thoughts and my reflections in this album to my sister, because it's directly to her. So that's how the album Hello Angela came
about. Amen, sir. Amen, amen. And then that's all. I know it's on Amazon, so if they just go to Amazon and would they just type in Hello Angela and a link will come up?
You can type in John Henry Hello Angela to be specific. So John Henry Hello Angela, and you can either purchase the single or you can purchase the entire album. Both of them will be ready. Both of them are readily available right now on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, and it's currently streaming on Spotify right now.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. You know, I appreciate you sharing that story, you know, because, you know, sometimes the things we do and way God uses us to heal us, it can be, you know, can be encouraging.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here tonight with our guest, Brother John M. Henry, musician, composer, and arranger. And he's telling us a little bit about his career, about the motivation for his music, his background. And we encourage you to reach out, listen to his music. Go on Amazon. You have your own company, and you have your own music company? You produce your own music?
Yes, sir. I am under the label Henry Boy Music. That's where I produce and run all of my business and all of my concerts and my business, basically. Booking is all under Henry Boy Music.
Amen, amen. And I know you have a Facebook page for that. Folks can find that and all that information.
Yes.
Again, amen. But if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk, we have the link there. We have all the links to Facebook and and Instagram and all these links there. You can get the information. Again, also, you can always search them out on Facebook. You talked about different genres of music. And you know, sometimes today we have a lot of folk who criticize the mixing and blending of gospel and jazz and so-called secular music. What do you think about that? Or is there really, you know, a mix, or is it just all the music, you know, is it, you know, I have a problem with it because I like music myself. You know, I wasn't raised in the church, so I was exposed to a lot of jazz, R&B, soul, and all of it, you know, I think we sometimes we categorize it because I understand the 80s, 90s what rap music did, what a lot of this other stuff has done, and it is, you know, provocative and degrading and all kinds of other things. But what do you think, sir, as a man, as a musician who's been in it, what do you think about, you know, is there times you have to, you don't want to blend it all together, or how do you see it?
Well, personally, I think it comes from the heart. So here's the thing. I played in the church, and I play out at clubs. I also, you know, produce, you know, some R&B for different artists around the local Baltimore, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. However, if you were to bring your heart into the atmosphere of God, it's going to totally do away with whatever music that you're playing. For instance, if I'm playing at a church, and the church is a very subtle atmosphere, people are very worshiping there, of course I'm not going to play any Frankie Beverly and Maze. I'm not going to do it. Even do a tribute to Prince there. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. My heart is open to playing something like "Open the Floodgates of Heaven" or something like that. So I think a lot of musicians get twisted up and playing a lot of riffs and a lot of chords that they find hear other musicians play on YouTube or SoundCloud or things like that, and they carry that on, and they don't have the maturity or the intellect to be able to differentiate between the two. So they carry that tune with them all the way, and they are out of tune when it comes to being in the church or being in the presence of God. Now, my personal belief on it is, if you're a musician, you are a musician. It doesn't matter if you're playing gospel, jazz, R&B, or whatever. Your musicianship is going to carry you throughout your life. It's how you carry yourself within the music industry that really dictates what the atmosphere is going to be. What I mean by that is that you can't go to church with the mindset of I'm going to play this intro to Beyonce or something like that. Or you can't play for an artist like Beyonce, and while she's talking and she's entertaining the crowd, you're playing Amazing Grace, unfortunately. Those two are just not going to mix. You just have to have the maturity and the intellect and the musical intellect to know the difference between the two, and to know your capabilities and limitations within yourself, to be able to control and tell yourself that, hey, it's not the right time, not the right place to be playing this song or these type of chords and this type of setting. So musicianship it's going to carry you all the way through life. So it doesn't matter if you are secular musician or Baptist or gospel musician, anything like that. If you're a musician, you are a musician regardless, because the chord structure or the progressions or anything like that doesn't change. It's the person behind the keys and that's controlling the keys and their heart and their maturity level that's going to dictate what's happening there.
Amen, sir. You know, I appreciate that. You know, that for me as a person who listens to different genres and what you're saying, you know, that makes sense. Because I think that's something that I think a lot of young musicians need to understand, you know, because even with if I remember when Kirk Franklin was at his peak, people were criticizing him for using, like you said, chords and riffs from secular music. Even though the generation, you know, I used to tell young teenagers back in the day, you know, that music Kirk is playing, he's put different words, but that music means something else to me because I remember the original.
Right.
But
right.
But, you know, it's funny. But, again, I mean, it's different tastes. The thing that I pull out what you said was it's the maturity level. I think it's maturity of the listeners and also, like you said, of the artists and what they're doing and where their heart is. So, you know, that can be a great debate with music and the things that we do because, you know, and especially in the church, there's certain, you know, these are great debates that I've been part of or have heard over music and artists. And like you said, being a musician that can only play in the church. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have the answer, but I know that there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on a lot of gospel artists, especially, you know, between playing secular, so-called secular, and playing gospel and what they should and shouldn't be doing. And I don't know, you know, because to me, I'll share this. Because me just being a person who listens to music and enjoys it, that I think we put a lot of things on people who are truly gifted and knowledgeable and, like you said, are musicians, whereas we don't put that on other people who bring their gifts to the body of Christ, teachers
right.
or whatever, you know, because you could teach in a secular, you could teach in a secular university, you could teach in a public school, and if you're a certified teacher, we don't have a problem using you to teach Sunday school, vacation Bible school, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? We don't have that
right.
problem, but when it comes to musicians, we want to put them in a box and make them, you know, feel like, you know, they shouldn't cross it over. I mean, for true musicians, because again, you know, as you know, we have people who only play in the church because they only good enough to play in the church. But that's a whole other show, brother. We ain't gonna get into that right now.
Yeah, I definitely understand, but yeah, that's an ongoing
Amen.
Debate that will
Amen.
Probably never end.
Amen. 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 You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and again, we're here with Brother John M. Henry, and he's a musician, an artist, a composer, arranger, writer, and we just talk a little bit about some of his projects and what he's doing, and just sharing some insight. You know, I've met this brother. I know him. Is your home church? I can't. Oh my God! Don't tell me I forgot it. Pastor, be mad at me. Winning Souls Evangelistic Church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got it. I didn't have it written down in front of me. My mind just went blank. But I know who you are. I know who they are. Amen. But I met that brother. Amen. Amen. I want to move on. We talked about it. But what is something you would share with young musicians? I know you've been in it. You've been in it a while. You've been around it. You know, since you were young, your family, you had some exposure to it through your maturing process. What is a message that you would have for like young musicians who are really starting out? You know, like how we mentioned it before, you're playing in church, but then you have a desire, or you want to get into music more, and you want to get out, but then, you know, we have that the ambition to want to do, you know, take it to its maximum thing. You want to produce, you want to get involved in it. What kind of advice that you can get to if they want to go and move forward in the industry and do some other things, you know, not possibly, you know, win awards, but they have a heart for it and they want to do and they have an ambition to do more. What kind of message or advice would you want to share with them?
So any musicians that's under me or that's playing under me or that's playing around me, I always tell them, you know, just to be patient, learn your craft, practice your craft, perfect what you want to do and have your goals set out. I've run across several young musicians that, you know, again, you know, they look at YouTube, I look at the way an artist like Calvin Rogers or someone, you know, else play, and they say, hey, I want to become an MD like him, or I want to do this, or I want to become an MD like you, I want to do that. And I have to tell them that, hey, man, you're 18 years old. I'm 33, man, so I've been doing this for a while. And the thing about it is even today I find myself, you know, practicing and going over stuff and trying to play it as much as I can so that I can perfect it. And a lot of musicians today, you know, I find a lot of musicians chasing a check, unfortunately, and they get lost. And the $300 and $400 and $600 checks, if that's what they're allowed to play, I mean allowed to get, and their playing level doesn't match the check, unfortunately, so they end up losing that and they get down upon themselves. So my encouragement to them would just simply be patient, practice your craft, and trust me, don't chase the check. When you are worth your while, the checks will come to you.
Amen, amen, bro. You just cut to the chase right there. Because that's another issue that we're not going to talk about in this show, that, you know, churches are willing to pay musicians, and some of them ain't that good. But, hey, whatever. Hey, this is a damn to me. Like you said,
right.
You know, when you're only as good as your last performance, and if you didn't do good, they're not, nobody's inviting you back. It's just as simple as that. But, amen.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Amen. Let's get back to, all right, I want to get back to you as a composer. You know, I think it's the writing music and composing music. Again, I'm a consumer. I listen to music. I know what I like to hear. I know what's something that's good in different genres. But I mean, what are the steps that you take when you're composing music or you're writing music, when you're starting from, you know, like from nothing to come up with a song and the lyrics for a song? What's the process there? What steps do you take to do that?
Oh, man, songs come to me so fast and so rapid at so many different levels sometimes that it's almost hard to keep up with. I can be in church and And I'm going to speak from a gospel level, gospel side right here. I can be in church and I can hear a musician speak or a preacher speak or hear someone else come and just, you know, exhort to someone else or whatever. And words and phrases just stick in my head. And I begin to keep that down or send myself a text or something like that. Like, yeah, I want to use something like that in one of the songs. I don't have a name for it yet, but I write it down. Or I can be on the highway driving home and something was just come to my head. And I just have to just get on my voice recorder and record it really quick and send it to myself in an email or text it to myself. I know I'm not supposed to be texting and driving, but I have this crazy thing called ADD and dyslexia that really tears me up sometimes. So if I don't say it right then and there, I'm going to be really, really mad at myself because I allowed something so good to slip out of my hands. So when it comes down to writing music or whatever, so I have notes written all over the place. I mean, if you, I'm in my studio right now, and I have probably about seven different tablets and sticky notes and notepads, and excluding my phone and my iPad and my computers that have notes all over them for songs that I want to write in the future or lyrics that I want to put down on someone else's who may ask me to sing or play on there or write there. Compose their music for them, you know, in the future. So the biggest thing that I really have, I'm not going to say have an issue with, but kind of hurts me a little bit sometimes is God now allowing me to go to sleep at night sometimes because he has given me a lyric or two or some words of encouragement, and I have to go get up at night again, and my wife is looking at me crazy like, why, it's 4 o'clock, why are you getting up, you know, so. And I would get on my phone and go to my little closet and begin to talk to myself on the phone. And it's just something that I have to get off my chest because for some odd reason I'm tossing and turning in bed and I can't go to sleep. Or my wife wakes up to me playing the keyboard in our bedroom and putting something down on a digital audio workstation like GarageBand because I want to go ahead and get this sound out of my head so that I can get some sleep and go to work, be at work at 6. So things like that happen. So that's just the lyrical side of it, writing music. Now, composing music is a totally different ballgame. I'm at work, and here's a quick funny story right here. I was actually at work one time, and I was in a conference call in a meeting. So I wasn't paying attention at all to what they were saying in the meeting, and I was just being bored, basically. So this music was stuck in my head, so I had to get out some kind of way. So I kind of tiptoed out of there and made it look like I had to use the restroom really, really bad. And I tiptoed out and went to the restroom and I got in one of the stalls and I unrolled some tissue and began to write a sound and write chords on the tissue paper right there and write notes and number systems on the tissue. And I put it in my pocket and I came back, and when I came back, people were looking at me like, hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, everything all right? You spent a long time in the restroom. And by the time I knew it, I spent about 20 minutes in the restroom, and they were looking at me crazy, and the meeting was almost over, and they were getting ready to conclude the meeting. And I was so embarrassed. But at the same time, I knew that if they had asked me anything in that meeting, I was not going to be paying attention, and I wasn't going to be able to properly answer it. So that was my getaway free card. But at the same time, be careful with what you're doing, because the music that you like so bad is going to get you in trouble. So the music comes at me several different ways, several different, you know, riffs and rods and genres and progressions or whatever. So I can be thinking about live settings and thinking about a rock concert or thinking about, you know, adding a hallway, a concert feel to a song or something. And that beats me up all the way. So I'm glad I have my smartphone here where I can just simply record something on my phone or send myself a voice text message and email it to myself. I text it to myself and come back and write it down later and put all the pieces together and create a song. That happened to me recently with a song that I submitted to an artist in the DMV, in DC by the name of Jeremiah Hicks. I told him that I had a song for him, but I really didn't have the song for him. I had the music, but I really didn't have the lyrics. So I had to come up with something really, really fast. So I put all of my notes and everything together and just came up with the song and one day and submitted it to him. And hopefully you'll be hearing it on his next album pretty soon. The same thing with Dathan Thigpen and Greg Roberts of Soulful Praise out of Hampton. So that's how it comes to me. It comes to me in all different areas, all different times of the day. And I just have to be readily available to write it down and and process it so that I won't lose it, because I am a very, very, very sore, sick person when I lose something that has been beating me up for so long. And that's how my music is.
Amen, amen, bro. Amen, amen. Bro, again, I just want to thank you and come and share, you know, because I hear your passion and I hear your insights and the years that you spent. You know, there's a lot of wisdom. I hope there's someone out there listening. And, you know, for my audience who's listening, you know, if you know young musicians and you know young folk playing in church, or you know somebody who wants to be a musician, a gospel artist, or even, you know, get into that field, I pray that you would, you know, point them to this show. Again, you can listen to the rebroadcast by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can click on the show. We're talking to Mr. John M. Henry, musician, composer, and arranger. And also, we'd like to add, you know, you can also listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. And we continue to have guests and brothers in Christ, men of God, and we're doing a little thing. And we talk about some of the issues that go on in men's lives as they continue to lead in their homes, in the church, and in the community. Amen, bro. Well, let me ask you this, bro, because I'm going to ask you this. This is a question a lot of folk have. Because sometimes we have musicians, everybody sings in the shower. Do you have any real hang-ups about performing live? I know you play in the church because I've seen you play over at Wisset. But what's like playing live? Is it different to play like in let's say in different you know, like between a big crowd, small crowd, small church, big church? Does it feel different, or you feel the same? Just being in front of people. What's your experience there?
Actually, I get way more excited playing in front of people, a lot of people. I was playing at the theater in D.C. and in front of Godfather of Go-Go. I'm sorry, name just left right out of my head just that fast. But a few years back, playing at the theater there, and it was filled. It was huge. I mean, filled with people and standing room only. And playing got me so excited to the point where I got lost in the music. And the music was so good, and the post-production of it was so fun to be around. So I do have hang-ups sometimes. And I've had a few hang-ups in my life with playing. And the band that I used to play with by the name of Just Friends, located out of Fort Washington, Maryland, I've had a few hang-ups with them, and meaning that, you know, playing live, we had a cross-up of chords, a cross-up of different progressions in the music, and we've looked at each other a little crazy, you know. But the thing about it is, we have to be able to stay professional at the same time with it, and keep the music going. That's what I do, you know, like about those guys, because they are professional enough to keep the things going regardless of who messed up or how they messed up. We just thought, hey, move on. The show doesn't stop. We have people to entertain, so we're going to keep that going. But I've played in a lot of different live settings, and fortunately, for me, I haven't had the unfortunate side of messing up on the big stage. It's been more so on a smaller setting where a lot of people who didn't know me couldn't really tell what I messed up on, but the musicians, my band, did. So they could really tell what was happening right there. And we just went back and discussed it later, and, you know, made sure we practiced a little better and made sure that we made notes on what we were going to do and basically corrected, you know. So it's nothing that we're going to take and carry on to the next show, because we have so many shows to do. It's just that, you know, if we mess up on this part right here, hey, watch my lead, and we're going to go to the next part at my cue. So that way that no one is guessing what we're going to do next, regardless of how many times we practice on it. You know, if I'm the MD, you're going to follow my lead, and I'm going to take you there. So if something goes wrong, I'm going to take all of the downfall for it. No one else has to point fingers, because I'm the one who led you to that point, and I'm the one who, you know, caused it to happen. Or if we do a great job, everybody gets the glory from it, and everybody gets the pat on the back, and everybody gets the thumbs up for it because we did a good job. So we just have to make sure that we properly prepare. And I was taught something really, really cool by my frat brothers called the 12 P's. And six of them are, you know, piss poor preparation. Preparation promotes pain, you know. So those things right there, you know, if you don't properly prepare, you're going to kind of fail. And the pain doesn't necessarily have to come physically. It can come mentally and emotionally as well, as embarrassment or mental hurt, something like that. So, yes, I have had those hang-ups, but, you know, luckily I haven't, you know, had them on the big stage. I haven't been able to, you know, I haven't had them at the Congressional Black Caucus. I haven't had them at the playing at the CIAAs. I haven't had them playing at, you know, big events, you know, at the Howard Theater or playing on Howard's campus or anything like that. So I've been fortunate enough to not run into issues at those times. But I have run into them before, and I just basically – you have to basically, you know, hold the hand that's dealt to you. And, you know, as professional musicians, we carry out the process, you know, better, and we're able to look at our faults and carry it on later and perfect it later.
Amen, sir. Well, we're running down here a little bit. I want you to share a little bit how folks can get in contact with you, and link up, get your music, and download it, purchase your CDs, and all that information. You can share that with the audience.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you can always find me on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, as well as Pandora. I'm streaming on Pandora and Spotify. If you want free music or free samples that I have free music downloads on my SoundCloud page, and you can find me there at John M. Henry, or you can go to Reverb Nation and just type in John Henry there. And I have free downloads on all of my music there as well. I have an Instagram page, which is John Henry Music. I have a Facebook page, which is John Henry 2. I have a website, which is henryboymusic.wix.com/John. And immediately upon opening that page right there, you're going to hear the intro and the song Hello Angela, which is the first song on the album.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Hold on real quick. I'm going to go through my announcements real quick to share my audience upcoming events. But I'm going to ask you about, I'm going to give you the opportunity to preach a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. Right after I do my announcement, I'll come back to you. Tell me who you are. What does that mean to you? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hold on.
I'm going to give it to you later.
No, hold on. You listen, this is Christian Man Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We thank you. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. I also wanted to share some of our upcoming men's events. On Saturday, July the 2nd, the Dasco Ministries is having a men's breakfast, a free breakfast with faith, food, and fellowship. And that's at 9 a.m. on Saturday, July the 2nd, at 9833 Liberty Road in Randallstown, Maryland. We encourage you to come out and join us for fellowship. Bring your uncle, your father, your grandfather, your nephews, not your nieces, just your nephews and your sons, your grandsons, your godsons, and come out for a time of fellowship with the brethren. Also, We Still Do, Inc. presents Marriage Live and Uncensored on Saturday, July the 9th, 2016, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Compton State University at the Talent Center. They're asking a donation registration fee of $30 per couple. You can call 443-386-8876, or you can register online by going to www.marriedwomenreachingout.com, and that's Married Live and Uncensored, for a time of fellowship for couples who enjoy being married, who want to encourage marriage in the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, because we know marriage is the foundation of all of civilization. It's God's first ordained call for a man and a woman to commit to one another for life, and that builds long before ministry, long before everything else, that the family is the foundation of it all. Amen. Also, Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. We're having a men's fish fry on July the 16th, 2016, and it's July the 16th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. We're asking for a donation of $10 per brother, per man to come. We ask that you RSVP so we can have enough fish and enough size and enough, you know, plates and forks and everything. And, you know, everybody can get 2 slices of bread. So we ask that you give a call to the church, RSVP. Call 410-859-8002. And the church is located at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. And it's going to be a time of fellowship. I'm going to be there. Some of the brothers are going to be there. And we're going to have a good time there. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother John Henry, sir, 2 Kings 3:15.
Yes, sir.
I guess that's your life scripture, your scripture you stand on, and I'll let you read it, and then just explain the significance of what it means to you, in your life, and in what you're doing in your ministry.
Okay, well, I don't have my Bible in front of me, but I've been saying it ever since I was a kid, you know, and I learned it at Vacation Bible School as a kid. So it says, now bring me a minstrel, or your Bible may say harpist or anything, or musician or something like that. It says, now bring me a minstrel, and it shall come to pass that when the minstrel, musician, or harpist played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. Now, I take this personally simply because if you go back and read biblically, the person who played the harp was one who calmed everyone and put them in a different spirit, put them in a different mindset, put their bodies and minds at ease. And the rabbis and many Christians suppose that Elijah's mind was considerably irritated back in the day, and he grieved by the bad behavior of the young men of Bethel and their tragical end by the presence of an adulterous king of Israel. And they didn't like, you know, any idol gods and things like that. So when the hand of the Lord, when the minstrel played, he calmed him. And when he calmed him, the hand of the Lord was laid upon him. So basically, as plain as day right there, when you play, something happens. When you play, you minister to someone else. When you play, you calm down effects, ripple effects that may happen in the future, something like that. If you notice, I'll take it as far back as Dr. Martin Luther King, and this is way before my time, but when they came, you know, marching down the road, they sang. And when they sing, things happen, you know, peace happens. So when we play music today, music puts us in a certain feeling. When we play music in church, people, you hear phrases and you hear cliches or something like that. You know, well, cliche is not a good word that I want to use right now, but you hear people say, you know, the hand of the Lord is laid, that the Lord is here in this place or something like that. Well, that means something to someone, whoever that someone is. And the musician is playing a powerful role in doing that. So when the musician is playing, a certain sound is being played right there, and it creates a ripple effect in the entire community and entire church and across the world. And everyone basically, you know, conforms to that sound, and you know they use that as to relieve themselves of demons, which is basically possess them. Personally, from a religious standpoint, from what I see, so music can come in any forms of, you know, listening to the rain in the morning, or listening to birds chirp, or you know, listening to, you know, soft music on your radio. So music comes in many forms of that. When you hear it, your body reacts to it, your mind reacts to it, and your soul eventually reacts to it, and causing you to be in a more conscious state of mind. So I use that verse right there throughout my entire life, and I'm going to carry it with me throughout all of my kids' life, and I'm going to constantly teach it to them. 2 Kings 3:15, when the harp is played, the hand of the Lord was laid upon him.
Amen, sir. Amen. Brother, I thank you so much, man, for taking time out, man, and sharing with us. And I pray that I really pray that some younger musicians will hear from you, and even some old musicians, maybe they'll come back and remember why they got the music. Amen. But like you said, you know, the musician, the minstrel is very important. And sometimes, you know, we struggle with it, and it gets tainted, and you know, but like you said, you know, God has created music for a reason. And it can be used to, like you said, release some people, release the burdens over people's minds, and take time
that
they can really connect with God. So I appreciate what you're doing, bro. Keep on going. And, you know, anytime when your next album is released, give me a call, come back on. And I got witnesses. I got people listening. I'm going to use some of your music in my openings. So if that's okay.
Feel free. Please do. I have no problem with it.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, I appreciate you, bro, and thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you, brother. It was my pleasure.
Amen. God bless. You've been listening to Issues Christian Minister Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Our guest tonight was Brother John M. Henry, musician, composer, arranger, producer. And again, you can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Instagram. And the free download, you can buy his jazz album on Amazon. Amazon.com, you search him out there. We encourage you to do that and support the brother. Thank you, We'll see you again on Monday night at 8 p.m. God bless.
Heaven's